Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Just saying, okay?
Christy Wowerty Dowerty. Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the bird.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Megan the Slayer Taylor.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Hannah, God, I love that banana. Anderson. Hot dang, it's Jessica Dang.
Lisa Wallant, now that's what I call Wallentainment.
Ava Nagila Weber.
And our super premium Patreon subscribers.
Susie going toe to toe bin.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Kelly Grant, the Grantmaster.
Give them hell, Miss Noel.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Shannon out of a cannon Anthony.
The incredible Edible Matthews sisters. And Lizzie Drucker, a fine motherfucker.
We love you guys. Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast about all that crap we just love to talk about on Ye Olde Bravs. I'm Ronnie Caron. I'm also on the Rose Perks Bachelor Roast, which just started back up this week. So if you want a little preview of The Bachelor, get over there. Everyone's 5 years old and very whorish. So go over there and look. I'm with my partner, Ben Mandelker of the Beachside Blog and the Real Housewares of Kitchen Island, which is on YouTube. Hello, Ben.
Hey, what's going on, Ronnie?
We can see each other today because we are streaming this episode live over on the TV Party app. So hi, yeah. TV Party app. We love you.
Hi, Ronnie. It's so nice to look, to gaze right into your eyes.
I know, like staring right into the camera so we can.
Wow.
And I've put a little light, so I have like a little twinkle in my eyes. Do you like it?
I didn't do any lighting, but luckily I'm seated right by a window. So I'm just letting God do the lighting for me.
Girl, that's how Jesus did it. And he's still hot as hell.
That's
so
right.
Everybody, welcome to the show. Today is Friday, so happy Friday. It's also the second episode of Restaurant Wars. We were off last week, so we didn't get the first episode, but we're going to catch up a little on both. But before we do that, let's all apologize to everybody being mean to me on this season of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. No, Lisa Vanderpump, this isn't about you. We are going on tour. Well, we're not really going on tour. We just got a town every month to do a live show. We just sold out DC, so thanks DC.
Thank you.
We're also going to be coming to Boston for a second show. We added a Friday show in Dallas February 8th, so get your tickets for that, please. It's gonna be very special guests there. It's gonna be amazing. We can't say who it is,
but you could probably figure it out because it's, we're gonna be in Dallas, so
It's the founder of Whataburger.
It's George Bush.
The first. We're going to have ghost George Bush there. Don't, George Bush. No, just kidding. Sorry, George Bush. That was rude. I'm going to have a George Bush ghost in my house now. Okay. So we're going there. Boston, Dallas, Irvine.
Just for laughs. By the way, once someone on our TV Party app just now was like, you guys going to come back to Seattle. Well, for right now, the closest that we'll be is we're going to be at Just for Laughs in Vancouver. So if you're willing to make a little drive up to our Canadian neighbors, you can see us there in February. And on top of that, because it's Just for Laughs, you don't just get to see us. You can see like a million amazing comedians. When we did Just for Laughs in Montreal, there were so many like famous comedians and podcasters there. So like, it's, don't come just for us. Come for the world of comedy.
No, come just for us, and then look at those other comedians like they're crap. Just be like, ew, no one even likes you.
Yeah. So, yeah, we got that, and we also have Irvine. Phoenix is also coming up. We got a very busy February, March, and April coming up, and there's going to be more to be announced. Maybe we'll be announcing some stuff next week. We don't know. We got to check with our peeps. But very exciting. Go to watchacrappens.com. For all those things. Plus, Ronnie's made all this amazing merchandise.
Yeah, go get your Ben in the Streets, Ronnie in the Sheets t-shirts. Those are over at crappensmerch.com. And there's free shipping on orders over $45 till January 22nd.
Okay. Yeah.
So there's all of that now that we are done with that.
Done.
What is your main general thought of Restaurant Wars, Bean?
Well, meaning like where we were from like last week, like about
yeah, because
like
let's talk about a little bit what happened the first episode of Restaurant Wars, because it was a very special double episode of Restaurant Wars for the first time in history. You better stop putting that Z cat up there.
Stop
lady.
Staring at it so much, Ronnie. Focus.
I am focused, but it's a big giant cat going zzzz.
I don't think the cat is, I don't think it's a commentary that she's bored. I think it just is like a cute animation. I think you're being too literal with the TV party animation.
I am. Okay, I'm not going to look. Okay, so let's talk about that first episode.
Okay. Very, very stressful. I spent the entire episode, actually, as anyone on TV Party who watched, I streamed that one on TV Party, and everyone who watched with me could see that I was like, oh no, that person's going home. Oh no, that person's going home. Oh wait, she's going home. He's going home. I was very, very stressed out the entire time. Nothing really happened, obviously, because it was a cliffhanger, but I spent the entire episode just getting stressed out, watching these like disasters build up and up and up.
Very surprised, like, who was nice and who was not nice, because I thought that girl, that surly girl from Kentucky who talks like this, she's like, I'm a local, and I'm not going to take any shit.
I have a spoon bread recipe.
Yeah, she looks like she's in prison and will shank you if you fuck with. Like, that's the girl you have to go through to get the soap in prison, that girl. Sarah, right?
Yeah.
So I'm just waiting for her to go nuts on people, because I feel like she's crazy, right? She's like surly. I feel like she'll hit you over the head with a beer bottle or something if you don't do things like she likes it. But she was actually nice, and she was like nice to the waiters, because they tricked them in this one. And they didn't say they were going to do this, but I feel like they made an effort to get the dumbest waiters they possibly could. It's like they passed out flyers in front of Universal Studios and just dragged people in.
No, that's what they do. I'm pretty sure that they do like a casting notice on Craigslist, and they just get people who are not necessarily waiters, who don't really know what they're doing. And Sarah, yeah, you're right. She's been surly all season, and then she's like super nice with the wait staff. Because I think that she's one of those people who's like in sort of like a fine dining environment, sort of like a more elitist environment. She's like, meh, meh, I'm like a regular person. Meh, meh. But then when she's like with the regular people, she's like, hey, hon. Yeah, no, don't worry about that, hon. I got that, hon. Yeah, you're doing great, hon. You know, because she's like with her people. So she feels more comfortable, you know?
Yeah, and also I feel like she's nice to the weak ones, because those are who you train to be your army in jail. Okay, I've seen Orange is the New Black and Wentworth. Mm-hmm. Okay, I've seen them both. So she actually turned out to be nice. She was getting on my nerves in the first episode, because in that one, this time they split everybody up into three teams. So it wasn't just two teams like normal.
Yeah.
There's so many people. So they split them up into three teams. And she was getting on my nerves because she's so bossy. You know, she's like got to boss everything. And she's like, well, I wouldn't say we're going to do a vegetarian, because like, no one wants that, but we are going to do vegetarian, and I think it should be vegetable forward. And you know what? Here's our thing. Fresh, organic, organic, fresh, fresh. Mm-hmm. I'm like, who's going to like come up with their idea and say, let's do a bunch of processed crap.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. Let's have fresh food for Top Chef. That seems like a good idea. So the three restaurants there's Third Coast, which is sort of like Gulf Coast centric. There is one called Northeast, because I guess they're all from the Northeast. And then there's one called Thistle, which I don't actually really like that as the name of a restaurant.
I don't either. It's like, just name something sticker. Like, you know, like when you get a sticker in your foot when you're walking around in the desert.
Thistle. I mean, it's like, as you know, not to jump ahead, but like Thistle is the thing that you spit out, you know?
Yeah.
It's not like, I don't think that's really an attractive name for a restaurant, but I always have to say anything is always better than Top Chef Vegas when the Voltaggio brothers were on the show and they named their restaurant. They named their restaurant
Sperm. Those guys are like so bro. They're like, come.
They named it Revolt. Revolt.
Oh, God.
Because it was Voltaggio, and then there was someone with like an R-E in their name and whatever. So like if they combined all their names as Revolt.
Oh, jeez.
What? Revolt. And I think they were thinking like, yeah, let's revolt against this. But then everyone else was thinking like, this is revolting.
Revolting, yeah. Which they turned out to be. Bless their hearts.
I know.
Kind
so,
of, right?
I actually don't really remember too much from last week's episode, I have to say. I just remember that I really liked it and I was stressed. Also, I came to the realization last week that Brian, who's like the tall guy, is basically Hannah Gadsby. And I was like, that's who it is. That's
Wait,
who it is.
Who's Hannah Gatsby?
Hannah Gatsby is the Australian comedian.
Oh, my God. That's the guy I call Napoleon Dynamite.
Yeah.
Okay, so he's like Napoleon Dynamite if he identified as Hannah Gatsby.
He's Napoleon Dynamite if he identified as a lesbian stand-up comedian who wanted to make a commentary about tension.
Yeah, he's very like, I'm going to do the front of the house, but like, I'm going to read a book to learn. And I just thought, this is going to be the biggest fail. This guy's getting a front of house book, and he's like, look at the notes I took. And then it's like Jim Carrey in that movie 23, where he sees 23 everywhere, and he's like scribbling notes down like a crazy conspiracy theorist or whatever. I was like, this is going to backfire in this poor guy's face. And I love Napoleon Dynamite, the movie, and I love seeing him all grown up.
I hated it, actually. So,
as Napoleon Dynamite would say.
Yeah, when he wrote like an entire ledger about like how to do service, I was like, that's cool in theory, but I don't know how like this is going to translate to anything. And in fact, last week, he's been working on a chicken palatine, which is where you take like the chicken skin and wrap around the chicken or whatever. And so that took up a lot of time. And so Adrian had to go out front and start training the servers, even though it wasn't her job. And so she just like had this manual and she said, okay, so what you guys can do is each one of you guys just read a paragraph aloud and then pass it along. And then we'll come back in 5 minutes and see where you guys are at. I'm like, this is going to be a full on disaster, but it wasn't.
Yeah, well, Adrian really kept it together, I feel, for the most part. And I love when a tiny person is screaming and yelling at everybody. It's like Mighty Mouse, you know? When Mighty Mouse is just, like, ruling the world and no one's going to mess. She's like Mighty Mouse in this episode. She's like, I don't want to hear from you. I don't want to hear from you. I was like, you go, giant earlobes.
I thought that she was going to, based off of last week, I thought that she was going to go home because she was very much like, okay, all I'm going to do is I'm going to do two desserts and like, no, I'm not cooking. I'm just going to put some cheese on a plate and I'm going to put a peach on another plate. I was like, okay, this bitch is going home. Okay. And especially because she was bragging about expediting. I was like, she is done.
Yeah. When somebody makes a cheese plate, I'm always like, really? A fucking cheese plate? And you never know how it's going to turn out. And of course, this episode, Karen, who I don't remember liking Karen. She seems like evil to me. She Which seems like Karen? She would run me down in a car. Like if she saw Karen. Me in the crosswalk. Is she
I
nice?
I liked Karen. I think I liked her. I think I always really. I, of course, I love Nina, and she deserved to win her season.
I love
by the
Nina.
Way.
Yeah, I love Nina.
Over
I
that
love seeing
asshole,
Nina back.
Nick. Karen, I remember when I saw her, I recognized her, but I didn't really remember her. You know, sometimes with the Top Chef contestants, it's hard to keep track.
Karen gives like kind of a squint when she looks at people like, like she squints her eyes and like kind of looks them up and down. And I'm like, don't you squint at me, young lady. Okay.
I feel like what I like about Karen is I can totally see her coming over to my apartment and like just sitting down on my couch and then talking. And then I'd like offer her like something to drink. And then she's like, oh, no, don't worry. No, don't worry. I don't need anything. And then like I have to insist and then I give her like a. Like
cheese.
a seltzer or something like that. But she's like really warm about it. But she like never, she just
she never
gets
leaves.
Up. She
She's that neighbor that you're like, hey, you know, it's graping neighbors. Glad we're friends. Please don't knock because I work at home.
Yeah.
And she'd be like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Did I bug you? Okay, I won't do that anymore. Knock, knock, knock. Oh, I forgot something. Was I bothering you right now? Like she'll still keep knocking and then she'll go, oh, I forgot. I'm not. Is it okay that I knocked right now? No, it's still not okay that you knocked. It doesn't make it okay that you said that you know you're not supposed to, you know?
I feel like I quietly disappoint Karen every single time we hang out because she always forgets that I don't really watch RuPaul's Drag Race. And she's like always so excited to talk about their latest episode.
Oh
and I'm like,
God.
Oh, you know what's so funny? I actually don't really watch that show. Really? It's so good, Ben. You should watch it. I'm like, I know. I mean, I've seen episodes here and there. She's like, no, okay. That's fine. I get it. But she's like, quietly sad she can't talk about it with me.
That is such a neighbor template,
you know.
That is such like an actual neighbor template. People who are just like, oh, you saw Drag Race, right? I'm like, no, I didn't fucking see Drag Race. Like, what the hell? Okay, I missed that drag boat. I missed it.
Yeah.
I didn't see it. There's always a neighbor who's like, oh my God, Drag Race, right? And I'm like, what is it about me that just screams Drag Race?
Gay. If you're gay, everyone assumes you watch it. And I'm like, I don't. I watch the real drag queens, which is Real Housewives of New York, okay? Lip sync for my life, okay? Congratulations.
I'm wearing a winter cap, and it's like 65 degrees outside, and my head's itching. Okay, Another thing that I don't like about this is I don't like the names of these restaurants. Thistle, we already talked about.
Yes.
I don't like the names. I don't like when people are like, let's make it like a coast. Northeast, East East, West East, Southeast. I'm like, that's a map. That's not the name of a restaurant, okay? I don't like that. Whatever happened to good old-fashioned Chili's?
Yeah. I actually like Third Coast because it's like it's a little imaginative and you have to think about it. There's like something going on there.
Because the judges were asking, like, what is that? What's the Third Coast?
Third Coast would be the Southern Coast along the Gulf.
No. I think that's where Shep has a restaurant.
Oh. But Northeast is a little unimaginative, I would have to say.
Yeah, it's just like a direction you walk in the airport.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
Shall we move on to this week's episode?
Yeah, did we talk about it all? Because now I'm looking at my notes like, now what? Hold on. Mean Girl is the hostess. Thistle. Why would they put Sarah as the hostess? This has disaster written all over.
Well, because she was like, oh, I'm really good with front of house. I know how to do front of house. So she just like insisted. And that's basically what happened.
Yeah, well, she got it. And so everybody's being sat now. So the restaurants are about to go live. That's where we open this episode.
Yeah, exactly. And we're seeing shots of Brian at the front of the house for Northeast. We see Adrian expediting for all the Northeast people. Like, there's some table number confusion with them, but things are moving along. And then we see over at Thistle, their big issue is that Michelle, who has immunity, she's like the executive chef, but they're like, Michelle is hard to hear sometimes, and she's like not hard to hear at all. She's like, "Hey, I need another salmon or whatever." And Pablo's like, "What was that? What was that? Do you have to speak up?" I'm like, "No, this is a Pablo issue, not a Michelle issue. I'm sorry."
Yeah,
Pablo's a little bit of a bitch.
Pablo is a little bit of a bitch, but he kind of gets away with it because he talks really fast. And you're like, "He's not a bitch. He just talks fast." You know, like don't speed hate. But mm-hmm. I think he did end up being kind of a bitch, but. Who else is on her team is that douchebag from the Phantasmagoric Mommy Chocolate Factory or whatever the hell that is.
Brandon.
He's always like, can you talk louder? That was my favorite line from the first Restaurant Wars episode because he's like, okay, so you're going to run the kitchen? Could you talk a little louder? You can be louder, right? So he was giving her shit. He's like, we can't hear anything. And, you know, now we've got her, like, working, but we can't hear. And I'd really like to see more of a push from her to make sure everyone's on task. I'm like, why don't you just take the fucking job, okay?
Yeah.
Why don't you it's just so stand up on taking it? I'm waiting for him to be a douche, and he comes out in little tiny douche spurts.
Little, yeah, yeah. He's like, I'm happy to take the role as sous chef. Like, he's, like, the martyr of the team. I don't know. I found, like, maybe this is me being PC or not PC, but, like, being, like, just my soups libs self. But, like, when he's like, I just want to see a little bit more, like, initiative from her, making sure everything's on task. I just kind of got a vibe, like, there was something coded about that, about the fact that she was sort of, like, just more of a subdued woman than like a big brash personality. And like, why is that wrong? You know? So I don't know if I'm just bringing my shit to it, but I kind of got that vibe a little bit.
I'm bringing your shit to it as a woman with a soft voice.
As a woman with a soft voice, I was like, you know what? I've been in that position before and I don't respect it.
Well, she does that kind of quiet and she kind of strings all her words together kind of like that. But I mean, who cares?
Also her grandma is a shaman from the most violent tribe in like I forget it was Ecuador or something like that. So like I wouldn't like push her too hard, Brandon.
Yeah, Phantasmagora. Unless you want a shrunken head, you better watch your tone, sir.
So then we go out to in the dining room. There's some diner who's there. Some lady. She's like, Third Coast. What's the Third Coast? I mean, I know there's an East and a West, but Third Coast.
And then enter the dumb, dumb waitress. Okay. Did you notice the older blonde waitress?
Yes. The one who did, yes.
She messes up everything through the whole show. And in my head, she's Kim Richards from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And they're like, okay, here's what you need to do. Take a plate. She's like, what? Here, take this plate. Why
food goes on
that?
A plate.
Why would I do that?
What's a plate? You put the food on the plate.
Oh, God.
Remember I told you the story on the bonus episode of the lady on the Amtrak train who thought the garbage can was the bathroom? She looked exactly like that waitress. It could have been the same person, which helps inform the Amtrak story.
Well, as I got older as a waiter, you know, people get ageist and they're like, fuck, I don't want an old waiter. And I was like, that's ageist and rude. But after watching this, I kind of see it. And not just because of age, but there's something that happens when you hit like 40 where you're just like, I don't give a fuck, okay? Yeah. You don't have the terror that you need to work in a restaurant where people are like, shit's hitting the wall. Nothing's being delivered. No one's orders were taken. You have to be like, oh my God. And after 40, you're just like, I don't give a fuck, okay? Yeah. Here's what's going to happen. Everyone's going to yell and scream, and I'm going to still go home and have a little snack and watch medium reruns and still go to bed. Like, the world keeps turning, you know?
You know what I would actually really like for Top Chef to do would be just, like, a digital extra where they explain, like, best practices or how expediting works. Because I've never worked in a restaurant, so I don't actually know. Every single year, it's like, oh, the tickets are coming in and no one knows their numbers. I would like to know, like, how it's really supposed to go. So that way I could, like, judge better in these situations when Restaurant Wars comes up, you know?
Well, there's a waiter name at the top. And then there's the number of guests, right? So you know who you're supposed to feed. And then the appetizers, entree, everything's coursed out on the check and by person number or whatever. And so if you have 3 steaks, 2 fish, and a salad, it's all, you know, it's all written out and coursed out and where they're sat and everything. So
under the waiter's name.
Right, under like the waiter's name. It's one and check. Diners. Right.
So table number or no?
Yes, table number. So the chef looks at it and says, okay, I'm coming up with table 10, and the expo says, okay, I've got a salad and a steak, but I still need 2 steaks, a fish, and another salad. So it's just making sure you have it. It's just calling out what you need and staying calm and knowing what you need so that the table goes out at the same time and all of that, blah, blah, blah.
Okay. So knowing that, I may have to, like, rely on your expediting knowledge to, like, pass really good judgment later on in the episode when shit really falls apart, because I was like, what is happening here? It was, like, a full-on disaster. Okay. Yeah. So really the most important thing that does happen in this episode is that some red BMWs pull up to the fake restaurants in slow motion. And then Padma just sort of steps out. They do that thing where she, like, comes out of the car really fast, like, and then they put her in, like, massive slow-mo, like, look at me, Padma Lakshmi, walking out of a car. Can Gail do that? I don't think so. Bless her heart.
Salmon's Angels. It's very the Charlie's Angel movie. And I'm like, what are you guys doing? It's Padma with her glasses, that crazy Gail wannabe with her terrible Gail Nilou patterns.
By the way, I'm secretly loving Sarandal. I'm starting to love Nilou. I feel like she's a really good alternate Gail.
I don't like that she looks like Gail and also wears Gail patterns. I feel like she's totally like single white Gailing Gail.
She's single white Gailing. She's all about Gail.
You know, I don't like it. I want
her Gail is born.
So, yeah.
I'm on the outside. Whatever that song is.
Yeah, so they do that Charlie's Angel thing where they get out of the car like, and then slowly walk in. I'm like, wow.
It's like in Charlie's Angels Full Throttle when Demi Moore has her big reveal at Griffith Park Observatory. She's like in some rotating thing and the thing like rotates around and Demi Moore is like in this structure. And it's like, I could just imagine Padma doing that just like every day just for the fun of it.
So the judges go into the first restaurant and it's Napoleon Dynamite's restaurant, right? Napoleon Dynamite Gatsby's restaurant. And Padma's like, whoa. They did a good job of spacing everything out in here. It's like, are you running out of things to say?
Look at that. It's very pared down in here, much like Gail's refrigerator after a midnight snack.
Wow, bless it's pared heart. Down in here, unlike anything in Gail's closet.
I love also that when the judges walk in, there's like a Craigslist server at the host stand. And they, like, do this, like, ridiculous charade as if it was, like, a real restaurant. And Padma's like, hi, yes, reservation under Lakshmi, please. I'm like, come on. There's no reservation under your name.
Padma does not know how to make a reservation. You know that Padma has never made a reservation, like, as an adult.
Of course I know how to make a reservation. I pushed my finger into an apple. Isn't that how it works?
If I don't have a table, I pinch Gail under her arm really hard until I get one.
What I do is I unfold a bridge table. Isn't that what you're supposed to do? Open table?
So they're doing their little pre-talk thing, and Tom's like, so, you know, Napoleon Dynamite's been talking about how dynamite of a chef he is, so we're going to find out. What am I going to say about it? We're going to find out. And Padma's like, whoa, the spacing. And he's like, so, Nina and Squinting Lady, who won't leave my house when she knocks on the door and I ask her not to knock on my door, you guys were in a Restaurant Wars. Who won? Who lost? And Karen's like, I won. And Padma was like, yeah, and they were the underdogs too.
No one ever thought they were going to win. Sort of like Gail at Life. You know what I'm saying? Bless her heart. She knows I'm just joking. I mean, I think she does. Hopefully she's not listening. Perhaps too busy rearranging her croc collection.
Gail would be listening to this, but she's too busy trying to hold her baby in as it tries to run away from her.
Unfortunately, our dear friend Gail Simmons couldn't be here for Restaurant Wars tonight. Apparently, there was a sale on Baby Ruth's at the 7-Eleven.
Baby Ruth! I have a Goonies t-shirt, so I'm loving Baby Ruth refs. Okay, so Adrienne is like all little and she's like, I'm exploding! I'm going crazy! Get this! Get that! Get that! Like, she's losing her mind and I'm cracking up. And let's see. So Top Chef table, notes are literally insane. I don't know what these notes even say. I'm trying to skip around here.
I know. I can see. I'm trying to control myself. So So at the table, Brian greets the judges and he's like, "Hello, chefs. I'm Brian Napoleon Dynamite Gatsby, and there's a lot of tension in here." So then they're like, Tom's like, Brian, I don't see a whole lot of food coming out of the kitchen. No food really coming out at all. What's going on with that? And Padma goes, I don't see anybody eating actually. It's just one table out of everybody in the restaurant. It's like Gail came through here with a garbage bag.
What is Gail, your expo? Because no one else is eating.
Someone tell Gail to get out of the... to get out of the kitchen and let everyone eat for once.
And they have
bless
this,
her heart.
They have this guest judge this time, Caroline. Caroline, right? I think that's her name.
I don't remember what her name
and
was.
And she always looks at everybody like this. Like, really? Whoa. And in the quickfire challenge, which was in the last episode, she's like, I love sunchokes. I love how they taste. I love the texture. I love the color of them. So now in this episode, everyone's putting sunchokes in everything.
I noticed that. I was like, why is everyone putting sunchokes in? And you're right. That's because she totally said that.
Yeah, because she likes sunchokes.
So then Padma just turns to Brian. She's like, well, like Gail at the Sizzler, I'll have one of everything.
Red wine, white wine, a jug of Hidden Valley. Oh, by the way,
tire.
I hate that we have to announce this because, you know, kind of kills it. But our first few recaps this season were on our Patreon. They were bonuses. And so people miss the announcement where we say, we are not making Gail fat jokes. Okay, no. Gail's not fat. She's a tiny little thing. She's as big as my pinky. We've seen her.
We love her. Yes.
We just have a long-running joke that Padma hates her. And that's it. Okay, everybody, just calm down.
Yeah. Yeah, and we love Padma, too. This is just an ongoing joke that we've had for several years. So just please know that every time we are fat-shaming Gail, we're not really doing it. We're just pretending Padma's doing it.
Right, we're Gail-shaming Gail.
Okay, so anyway, so Adrienne, like you said, Adrienne's in the weeds. She's expediting, and she's like, you don't talk to them, and you don't talk to them, and you talk to me only, and I got the... She's like you said, she's in her Mighty Mouse-like moment right now in the kitchen.
And Napoleon Dynamite comes out, and he's like, oh, I've got your food. So the chicken Ballantine is first, and as Eddie gets it ready, Eddie is so stressed, and I love that Padma is always calling Eddie out because he just can't be happy. He's like a miserable person who thinks the world is going to – I feel like he's a realistic person. Like, he knows the world is shit, and I always am with people like that. You know, he's like, I could lose everything in 1 second. And I'm like, you're right. Negativity is called preparation. But he's back there like, oh, my God, I'm in charge of the chicken Ballantine. Oh, my God, what if it loses? So I thought it was going to be a mess, but nope, it wasn't. It was delicious.
This is what I thought was going to happen. I thought Eddie was going to ruin the chicken Ballantine, and then his food would be amazing. And, like, because I think that he is still, and will for a very long time, be trying to dig himself out of the hole that he made when he used up half the budget at Whole Foods. And everyone's like, oh, fucking Eddie, you know? So I think that's why he's so stressed, because he's like, everyone hates me. I know everyone at home will hate me. I know all my fellow cooks hate me. I cannot mess anything up. So he's just like a head case as it is right now.
Yeah, if he dies before all the other chefs, they're going to buy him like 20 gravestones, like still to give him shit even after he dies. Like, he's never going to get over that.
But the Ballantine, as you said, turned out perfectly. And Tom's like, well, this is like a perfect Ballantine. Like, this is it's perfect. I love it. It's great. And Padma's like, I like Brian's Ballantine more than Eddie's Crudo, which I just loved. Like, to me, it was like, I just love the idea of like Padma picking favorites between appetizers, which is truly her job. But I also felt like there was so much judgment behind that. Like, Crudo, you can't hang out with me and Ballantine. Go hang out with Gail. She'll enjoy you.
That put the crude in Crudo.
And then they were like, they cut to like these two gays, and this one gay goes, none of us remember the Crudo. And the other one goes, the forgotten Crudo.
Yeah. Here's what I have to say about the Crudo. It was fine. It was fine. I was like, okay, regular person. I'm glad you got your 5 seconds of fame there, you biatch.
Hey, Crudo. Ballantine, sachet, you stay. Crudo.
Hey, whatever. You said you don't watch Drag Race.
I've seen some episodes recently, actually. And by the way, I'm still not sold on it. I'm sorry. Sorry.
But until there really is a drag queen named Crudo, we're out.
There should be. If there was a drag queen named Crudo Ballantine, I think maybe I would watch for sure.
And the ripoff Gail will still be sitting there going, God, I just wish that was more elevated. I wish Crudo was on some stairs or something. And guess what Caroline says about the Ballantine? She's like, the sunchokes. Those sunchokes were amazing. Whoa. God, I can taste that sunchoke.
Sunchokes are a deal with the devil because they really are delicious and they add like a warmth that is just so amazing. But then you wind up farting for the next 18 hours. It's true.
We have to talk about air. I don't like air coming out of places and people. Okay.
Listen, I keep it real, Ronnie, okay? I talk about what really happens to our bodies when you have sunchokes.
Speaking of, I'm drinking Teamy right now, so I'm like, please don't talk about poop, please.
GQD1189 says, okay, what's a sunchoke? A sunchoke is a Jerusalem artichoke. It's just like a little, it's like a little root. It's like a tuber sort of thing. It looks like a little knob. They're delicious.
Little knobs make you
little knob, but they make you gassy. Okay, our bodies can't process them the way they can process other vegetables. I'm sorry, just can't process sunchoke. Okay,
sunchoke. Okay, so Neelu, what did Eric
Ramona Singer talks about sunchokes?
Yeah, well, I like sun. Occasionally, I like choking. Okay, sunchokes. Okay, I'm very sexual.
Okay. Sorry, you were about to say something about Neelu.
Neelu, every time I write Neelu, I don't even know what I'm talking about. I just love her name. Yeah, she's a very proud judge. She's so, like, Eddie's killed Eric. It was so beautiful, so silky. But I don't know what she was talking about.
Oh, so Eddie made a New York strip. And then Eric, this cracked me up. This is so chefy. So Eric made like a pork and scallop duo with variations of carrot. I'm like, come on. Variations. Chefs are so ridiculous with the way they present things. Like this is a study in beetroot, or like, it's a variations of carrot. Just say it's like two different types of carrot. Okay.
And they're variations, not even. They're like those bags that you buy at the store where they're like little thumbs. They're like little carrot thumbs, but they're all multicolored and it's 50 cents extra.
Variations of carrot just sounds like a horrific, like, rom-com movie about Caroline from Below Deck.
Variations of carrot. How lucky am I?
I haven't cried so hard since I went and saw Variations of Carrot. Such a moving film. I told Salman, you have to adapt this into a book. Usually it goes the other way around, but this movie was just too emotional to not be adapted into a wonderful tome.
And then we get a shot of like another regular person, old lady, and she's like,
the steak dish was the best combination of flavors I've ever had.
Like, you're lying. Also, I mean, ever. You're like, come on. But also, why do they let Blueprint? Because no one had to design their restaurant this time. We forgot to mention Blueprint Blueprint, whatever they're called now. There's like, they've got lots of names.
Yeah, it was Blueprint. This one guy came in with like a little bow tie. And they made all the restaurants. But the thing is also, by the way, with Nini's restaurant, they got fucked because Blueprint, I got the sense that Blueprint just like dumped all their things in their room. We're like, okay, you do it.
They did.
You
know, they just threw plates all over the wall.
Because Nini had to spend all her training time moving tables around. And that's why she didn't get to.
Oh.
to train them, remember? I'm like, Blueprint, can you just, like, do your job, Blueprint?
But they can't even blame Blueprint because they're a sponsor. That's unfair. You see, there are a couple little extra things thrown in this year that made it harder.
Well, yeah. Well, the other thing is, too, by the way, one thing we did not talk about was that last week the Blue Team was like, oh, my God, we're, like, the powerhouse. It's like, because they had David, Nene, Kelsey, someone else.
Yeah, and Kelsey's like, we've never lost, but Justin. We've never been at the bottom, I'm just going to say it. And I was like, you were just in the bottom right now. I mean, it was a quickfire, but still.
But it's also like, okay, this team is fucked because they're really cocky. And I think that the producers told Blueprint, you know what? Just drop all their decor in the middle of the floor and make them do, like, make it harder for them, you know?
Yeah.
So, anyway, hashtag variations of carrots. So, Nilou is like, Eric's puree eats like magic. Which, I don't know. I wrote that down. I just think it's funny, again, like when Nilou just gets, like, really excited about
Nilou
things.
Nilou says a lot of ridiculous things. And I think she's just not in that place yet where she's, like, just pulling stuff out of a hat. She's not good at just, like, going on the fly yet. So she's saying stuff like that. Tastes like magic. Specifically, the scarves that pull out of each other and turn into different colors. Everyone's like, what are you talking about, Nilou?
Okay. Hey, have you ever seen Gail do a magic trick? She has this really great one, which is watch all the food disappear. Am I right, everyone?
Have you ever seen a spoon get stuck in the Gail? Don't put your finger down it. Your finger will be chopped off like magic.
One time Gail said she was going to saw someone in half. So I was like, okay, I'll watch this, Gail. Turns out she's talking about a piñata. And next thing I know, she had her face stuck up to half of an alpaca eating baby roots right into her mouth.
So now we get a guest spot from my favorite guest, the blonde waitress lady. This is so good. So Nene comes up to her and she's like, hi, okay, so I'm gonna need you to go to that lady and take away her fork and her knife, okay? And she goes, why? She goes, because she's getting soup. She goes, so? And she's like, so she's not going to need her fork and her knife because she's only going to need a spoon for soup. And the lady's like, just stands there like, ah.
She goes, you only need a spoon for soup. You only need to use a spoon. It was actually like a Curb Your Enthusiasm moment. It had like the rhythm of like something that was like semi-improvised for comedy, you know? I was like, I cannot believe that this lady with her big poofy blonde mullet needs to be explained how to eat soup and what's the proper like silverware.
I mean, it was so good. She's like, am I off yet? I got some medium saved up on the Deaver.
She's like serving chopsticks with some chicken broth. It's like, it's not gonna work that way.
So over at Thistle, Sarah's walking around. She's like, how you doing?
And hey, hon, over here, hon. That's okay, hon.
Come on, it's okay, hon. And some lady's like, I don't have a water glass. And she's like, no water glass. I'll get them.
Like, look at me. This? I'm helpful. I'm full of ideas like how to make spoon bread, how to make tacos, how to make challah, how to get a water glass.
She also said in the first episode, she's like, you know, it's all women. She says something about being on a team of all women. Oh, no. When the quickfire judges were there, it was all women judges. And she's like, look at us, all women. We're all women here. You know, maybe one day. You know, they used to say a woman's place is in the kitchen. Well, maybe one day the women's places will not be in the kitchen. I was like, where do you live?
She's in front of the house. So, it's funny. I am starting to really like Sarah. I think it worked on me. I was like, look how nice she is. I like Sarah now. So meanwhile,
I like Sarah because you know she's always got whiskey in her pocket. Like she's that kind of girl or bourbon. You go to a party with her, and it's like, yeah, everyone here sucks. I got some booze in my pocket though. It's like,
now
yes.
She's the one who when she shows up, like Karen's on the couch, and then Sarah she just walks in the door. She's like, I just let myself in, and she like laughs like ha ha ha, and you're like, next time could you knock? Just out of courtesy. But she goes, and then she starts going into your fridge. She goes, I'm sorry, I'm just so hungry. I'm just going to make myself something. You're like, okay, I guess. And then Karen's like, hi, Sarah. And then Sarah's like, oh, hi, what's going on? And there's like some weird, like, there's like some weird tension between them. And then, but you don't really know what it is, you know?
Yeah. And then you're like on West Side Rentals trying to find a new apartment because these women are never going to leave.
Because then Karen's like, oh, I was trying to ask Ben if he watched Drag Race from last night, but he doesn't watch it. And Sarah's like, And then Sarah's like, oh, I don't watch that either. And then Karen feels slightly ganged up on, so she gets quiet.
Yeah. She'll be like, they were ganging up on me. And Karen will be like, you know, there really should be a drag person named Crudo. That was Ben's
Then after Karen leaves, Sarah privately is like, you know, I really like Karen, but she's so sensitive. It's like, okay, I'm sorry I don't watch Drag Race, right? Anyway, and then she like opens up a beer and you're like, okay, Sarah, you can go too, but now you're just like sitting here drinking my beer.
Oh, diddly-doo, diddly-doo.
Sorry, I got like so into that, I forgot we were podcasting. I was like actually creating that scene in my head and I was like, yeah,
That is funny.
It's time for a commercial. It's time.
Thinking of a break with the kids? Wherever you fancy, we've got you covered. From Ibiza to Italy, Madeira to Malta, or Almeria to the Algarve, we've got a deal you'll love. Thousands of free kids' places when you go Mahusav. First Choice, the home of all-inclusive. Book now, online, or in your local TUI store. Free kids' places subject to limited availability on selected holidays for a limited time only. One free child place per two full-paying adults. See firstchoice.co.uk. Adult protected.
I'm for a Crappens commercial.
So in the back of Thistle, Kelsey's like, well, we realize tickets aren't coming in. Things aren't going right. People putting their wrong numbers down. Something's not clicking in these servers' heads. I was like, well, you all know what it's like working with servers, okay? Chefs notoriously hate servers. I've had so many pans and knives thrown at my head, okay? And I can't really say that they're wrong. But let's not all pretend that one person is going to be able to train 10 servers in a day.
Yeah, and like,
okay?
So I have a question, Ronnie. So based on what you were saying before about how expediting works, when they say that they have like wrong numbers going on, how does that like translate into the chaos?
Because they're putting the wrong things on. They're putting the wrong table numbers on. So if Kelsey's back there, she's like, okay, I've got table 13 ready. And you've got a waiter there that has no idea that that number is wrong. They're taking it to the real table 13 and they're dropping the food.
Oh,
and
I see. Because it's not the same waiter.
Course, right. So since there's only one course, anybody can expo. You know, I mean, anybody can run the food.
So that's right. So crazy blonde lady, she takes the order for table 16 and then writes it down as 13. Mm. They go, they prepare it for table 16, but it says 13. So a different waiter comes by and brings it over to 13. That's what's happening.
And so then
now it all makes sense.
Yeah. Once it's delivered wrong, there's different amounts of people at each table. So they'll take like two fish for five people and then nothing else will come out. You know what I mean? Right. And then they're saying, okay, well, they're finishing up at 13, so fire. So then the second course comes out at the wrong time, too. And then you're really fucked.
That's so stressful. That's even more stressful now knowing and understanding the logic.
It's hard. And I've always joked, you know, I used to recap this show. That's when I started working with you at TV Gasm. I used to recap this show and freak out because I was a waiter. And I would take the whole restaurant by myself. And I still have nightmares of being a waiter. And I used to joke, like, fuck the chefs. They just have to do the same thing every day. Like, all they literally have to just go do the same thing every day. And they yell at us, and we have all these things to deal with. And it's very hard. And that's a show. And then they came out with Vanderpump Rules, and I was like, okay, maybe we didn't need this.
I guess the hard part is just really remembering what table is what number, you know? That's if I were on Restaurant Wars, I would incorporate table numbers into the decor. So that way the waiters would always
be able to
see. That's
such a good idea. I would be like, let's do pool. Like, that's our theme, pool. Just do green walls, and then every table is like a ball. It's like the number painted onto the thing.
Yeah, or like somehow, like what looks like a normal centerpiece is actually like code for a number. You know, there's like a candlestick and then something that looks like a three. So it looks to the, if you're not paying attention, it just looks like a centerpiece. But to the waiter, that might be too high level for the blonde lady with the soup spoon.
Yeah, I was going to say, no matter what you do, you're always going to have that blonde lady. Like, she's always going to be a wrench in the wheel or whatever. Okay, so
anyway, so
Northeast.
I think the red team, because the dessert arrives. And Pamela goes, well, here's dessert. Everyone look out for Gail. She'll probably come storming through that wall. Put your hard hats on.
All right, batten up the hatches. Dessert's coming, which means Gail's coming. So, Adrian, okay, the judges are really confusing me because things that they would normally just completely diss, they're loving. Like peaches and cream. Really? Peaches and cream? You're making peaches and cream.
Well, Nilu was like, I kind of feel like peaches safe.
Yeah, but then she got voted down, and then suddenly it's like her favorite thing ever. Because Padma's like, here's dessert, and Adrian says peaches and cream, and Jasper Hill Farm triple cream with blackberry, whatever her cheese thing is. So both of these things, I'm thinking, she's going to get totally dragged for these dishes. And then Neelu goes, I love the presentation of the cheese. Because cheese, right? And then Tom's like, I mean, yeah, I like the cheese. Well, cheese is fine. And Karen goes, when my partner and I get in a fight, this is the cheese she brings me. This is my cheese. And I was like, only with this specific group of people would a fucking cheese plate win
them
over.
You know that Karen brings the cheese over to your apartment. And then when she sits, she puts it on the counter, and then she sits on the couch, and then she directs you from the couch on how to open up and how to slice it. She never gets up from the couch. Always says, oh, yeah. She does that thing where she's like, yeah, just undo that part. And then you need a knife, get a different knife. She's like just ordering you. And you're like, Karen, just stand up and do it for me.
Yeah, Karen's that friend that you could just never have that kind of cheese around.
No.
Like, you could just never buy that kind of cheese.
She brings it, but she's bringing it for herself. Yeah.
She'd bring it by herself. No, Karen's the type of person to eat that cheese and then come over to your house for the crackers and not offer you that cheese. Like, there's something fucked up with Karen, I'm telling you.
She's the one who says she can only have a bite because she's on a diet and then she eats the whole thing. So she goes,
you're getting personal now. No, I'm just
kidding. Hey, hello.
I do that to Ben all the time.
You should have seen me with the pasta last night. So so then they finish up. So Padma's like, well, we got to go to the next restaurant. We got a lot of eating to do. We're just like a regular pair of gals. Am I right, girls?
In other words, we're writing a gale to-do list.
Really got to gale it up tonight.
So over at Kelsey's, okay, so now we're getting into some ice cream drama, which I love because all you have to do is watch Top Chef like literally one time to say, you know what's not a wise idea? Ice cream.
Ice cream on Restaurant Wars.
In Kentucky, in like a semi-outdoor kitchen, because that was just like a warehouse, you know?
Yeah, I think that maybe Nene was feeling confident because she was able to do like a cold dessert in that kitchen challenge, like in that tiny kitchen. But it's like, Nene, you're going to be front of house. Make like a cake that can just be cut up and sauced and put it on plates. You know, that works.
Yeah. But yeah, we know. And also, look, cocoa nibs.
Also,
put cocoa nibs in ice cream. That sounds so disgusting. Okay. Chocolate chips. Okay. But cocoa nibs are not the same. And I don't like that. And I don't like that they're so trendy now and everyone's using cocoa nibs. They're disgusting. They're what fat kids have to eat on a diet. You get them in the bulk shop at Sun Harvest. Or wherever. They're disgusting, okay? Get your diet food out of my face.
I'm not opposed to cocoa nibs. Here's what I am opposed to. Liquid nitrogen ice cream. It's stupid. Okay, because first of all, it melts really quickly. It's like a shortcut. And anytime you get liquid nitrogen ice cream, at first it's like, oh, that's cool. They made instant ice cream. But then you'll notice it melts really, really quickly, which is what probably her problem was with that. And second of all, it's just never the same great texture as like properly frozen ice cream. So like, and she was even saying, I don't have a lot of liquid nitrogen, so it's like, this is it. I'm like, why are you going down this path? Why are you giving yourself this tiny narrow bullseye? And then on top of that, she's like, she was supposed to spin it right before service, and she spun it like an hour before. So I was just like,
well, she knew and she had enough for them to spin it, but the thing is, they've all got dishes too. And so if you're not there to protect your dish, I mean, that's the person that should be doing the cheese plate. You know?
Yeah.
And traditionally, that is the person that would be doing the cheese plate.
Or she could have just made a cake. I mean, she could have, like, they had prep time, like, earlier that day. That's enough time to make, like, a delicious, like, large cake that could be cut into, like, beautiful squares with a lovely sauce. Like, there's enough time for that, you know?
Well, the team is starting to go against her now because her staff is, like, completely useless. So they're everything's going haywire, and they're really starting to blame Nene now, which I mean, I guess she should take some of the heat, but not all of it. I mean, that was a shit show.
Yeah.
So
then also Nene's my favorite, and I think I announced that she's my favorite last time we podcast about it, and I have a really good track record of cursing contestants. Like, I say they're my favorite and they get voted off. So
sorry Nene.
I'm weeding. So Kelsey's also losing her mind. Kelsey's like, servers, no talking in the kitchen. The servers cannot talk.
Yeah, because she's like, okay, I just need you to tell me what you need. No talking. It's like, uh-oh. So they decide that instead of worrying about the ice cream, they're going to forget the ice cream altogether, and because the menu just says chocolate. That's all it says. So
yeah.
They're going to just put all of her chocolate components on and totally fuck her over. So this is not cool.
Yeah. So meanwhile, the judges go over to Thistle, and Sarah comes and greets them, and she starts talking to them at the table, and she's like, well, on our menu, we've got this and this. She's like talking so long, she starts getting the dreaded dissolve transitions, you know, the shows that someone on reality TV is talking too long.
Yeah.
And like Padma is just like giving these eyes. Her eyes are like rolling, and she's giving eyes that are like, I feel like I'm stuck looking at vacation photos with Gail. I don't really care.
Her eyes literally did this. They closed, like, this is how quickly her eyes closed. She went, close, open. I was like, God, she's pissed. And she also did that thing where she's like, I'm taking off my Warby Parkers because you've spoken for so long. I got my vision back.
All right, let's just end this right now. Okay, Sarah, have you given this detailed of a description to every table?
And she's like, yeah, my sure did. She's like, well, I think you should put in our orders because we have more restaurants to go to besides yours.
You've been speaking so long that Gail's gotten pregnant again.
Less talky, more walky. Chewbacca. So,
or as we say with Gail, less talking, more rolling. Am I right, everyone? Bless her heart.
So when we get to the scene of Sarah, she's like, waiters, these are my people. I mean, waiters, right? You talk nicely to them, and they're going to do what you want them to do. So she's talking to this little girl who looks like she's just terrified to be in the world at all, really. She's like, ugh! And she goes, all right, now here's what you say. Fire table 31. The girl's like, fire table 31. Say it louder. Fire table 31. Say it louder. Fire table 31. She's like, that's it, kid. That's it, girl. I was like, this is like The Blind Side.
I was about to say, it felt like a deleted scene from A League of Their Own. So anyway, I also have to say, by the way, that when Sarah left the table, Padma turns to like Nilu or something and just goes, oh, I was falling asleep. Just so snotty. I love it. So now this is where Nini starts to she starts to realize that her ice cream is not coming out on the plate. So she's feeling super betrayed, and I'm like so mad on her behalf, and I'm so frustrated because I actually refuse to blame Nini for anything because she's my favorite. So I'm getting mad.
I like her, and she took the hard job, which everyone acts as like the easy job, but they all know it's the hard job, and they know that's like the kickoff spot.
Yeah,
where you get kicked off is what I mean.
Exactly. So then meanwhile, Sarah's also talking to another server. She's like, okay, bring this dish to Padma. You know who Padma is? And he's like, no. She's like, the smoking hot. He's like, no. I'm like, how have you been like sitting here in this restaurant and like there are celebrities at that table and you still don't know who Padma? Also, just like
make an effort.
Like, can you, the name Padma, like who at that table looks the most like they'd be named Padma?
I know, because you saw her stop, right? Because she was like, it's smoking hot. Oh, well, I guess they're all smoking hot. All right. Like, she stopped herself. And he's so like, no. And I was like, these people are fucked, okay? But at least they're all kind of equally fucked.
Yeah. So the first things that come out, Sarah brings out her green tomato gazpacho, and Michelle has a sweet pea agnolotti. So they are really enjoying. They really love the agnolotti, they like Sarah's soup too. Padma goes, "I'm enjoying Sarah's soup, but she'd be doing herself a big favor if she left the candied ginger out." I mean, it's not like we have Gail Simmons here that we can all throw our candied ginger at.
Get rid of the ginger, and it'll just be like a Gail. No one would miss it.
You know what Gail's favorite thing to eat is? A candied spoon. I'm like, Gail, that's not edible. She's like, don't care, YOLO. I'm like, ugh.
I actually saw Gail try and eat a waiter named Candy once.
I've never seen Gail more sad than when she found out that Candy Crush was actually just a video game.
Candy Crush, or as we like to call it, Gail trying to go to sleep.
Candy Crush, or as we like to call it. Gail sitting down on any chair in her apartment. Am I right, everyone? Padma, I think you may be crossing the line.
This is horrible. So Nini sees that her... She's like, Paul, I see my plate going out, but I notice there's no sorbet on it, and I feel very, very betrayed. Which I just thought that was such a funny way to word it. And Kelsey's like, well, it's hard on the outside and soft on the inside. What am I supposed to do? And I'm like, oh, I'm you like, see? There's the real Kelsey, okay?
Yeah.
You have to be very careful with Southern people because it's always like, oh, I have a daughter. I'm the only one who's ever been pregnant. I get it. I'm a woman. It's like, she'll rip your fucking guts out in the next second.
I know.
You know?
And by the way they described it sounded nice. And also, did you notice that at least as far as what we saw on TV, there was not a single critique about the texture of that sorbet. They criticized that dessert for other things, but not for being like, they didn't say something like, oh, this is not really sorbet. It's more like a sauce, you know? Like, they didn't say anything about that.
Yeah.
So that shows that they were wrong back there.
Yeah, everybody. You're being mean to Nini for no reason. And so then Padma goes, well, and then we're going to get to taste Nini's quote unquote chocolate.
Right, but that's later, like, though.
Oh, it was?
Yeah. So now, because we're still on the black team. So now they serve up, like, this braised short rib, and Padma starts eating it, and then she starts going, like, she starts pulling something out. She goes, a bit too much thistle in my artichoke.
Yeah, there's a thistle in the artichoke.
This isn't edible. What do they think that I am? Who do they think I am, Gail?
And Sarah's like, Pablo did scallops with sunchokes, keyword. And Caroline's like, heard it! Sunchokes! Sunchokes!
And Nilu's like, I have no good words to say about the short ribs. If I were to drop this off the top of a building, it would land in one piece. And Padma goes, and bounce! Queen of snark.
I was waiting for you to go, like, Gail.
I was going to, but I was like, I've said.
Were you overloaded on the Gales?
I've done so many Gail jokes in the past, like, 30 seconds. I've ever tried
I was, like,
to push
watching
Gail
you. I was
building.
Watching you on TV waiting for it. I was like, here it comes.
I mean, I would say that it would, if you dropped off the building, it would hit the ground and bounce like Gail. But the truth is, if you can push Gail off a building, then you must be Arnold Schwarzenegger. Who can do that?
And then they eat Brandon's soy milk custard, and Nilo's like, good jiggle. And Padma's like, I mean, they just write themselves these days. Hey, Gail.
So they all get up from the table, and Padma's like, nobody told Tom he should leave the date. He should leave the date with the woman he came with.
I have to point out this custard. Fuck this custard. Soy milk custard. Are you fucking kidding me? And of course, as good jiggle is soy milk. And then I think Caroline was like, Padma was like, love the consistency of the custard. I just wish it had more sugar. I'm like, so you served an under-sugared soy milk custard? Why isn't that person going home? That's disgusting.
Yeah, that sounds disgusting.
I like the jiggle. Well, use some gelatin, okay?
Yeah. So now finally they arrive at Third Coast, the blue team, which is a full disaster. Nini's not turning the tables over. There's a line. We've seen this before in Restaurant Wars, and it never ends well.
Yeah, never. And they always blame her. It's like, why is it her? Well, it kind of is, because I guess she gets in trouble for all of the timing and everything, because people are sitting there because they've been waiting for their food and haven't been served and stuff. And even though I know it's her fault, I don't want it to be her fault, so I refuse to blame her.
Yeah, me too. So they sit down, and Padma asks, what's her name, Caroline? She's like, Caroline, well, since we have to wait 10 hours for our food, let me ask you a question. What's the biggest mistake a new restaurateur makes? I'm going to guess. Not having enough food for Gail. Am I right?
Stupid. Not serving I'm putting literally bread, everything am I right?
Not wide enough chairs, am I right?
No. Have I told you guys about when Karma set a trap for Santa Claus? What's her kid's name? That was my favorite thing from the Krishna. That was my favorite thing from the Christmas episode. I kept telling my nieces all through Christmas. Santa might be here soon. I set a trap for him. And they're like, Uncle.
So Padma's like in full, like she just loves fucking with these contestants because like there's full on chaos. Nini is running back and forth and Padma's like, Nini, please come back here. I'm just curious, what's going on with the people who are waiting for a table? I'm like, I think they're waiting for a table. I think that's pretty much the story there, Padma.
And Nini dealt with it well. She didn't go crazy. She was just like, well, people were trying to get to tables, but it's taking long, so I'm just helping them get tables. And Padma's like...
and their prescriptions.
Padma's like, she's unflappable. This won't do.
Unflappable. So Justin, they serve up Justin's crawfish bisque first. Because they're also, on top of everything else, they're like shucking oysters back there to make life even more miserable for themselves.
Yeah.
So they're like, so they can only serve the bisque. And Tom's like, not getting a deep bisque flavor. That's a little thick.
Really tasty here as vegetables. So,
It's more like a vegetable, a thick vegetable puree. So.
I would say, you get a soup in the bowl, and you got to make sure it's soup and not just, vegetables. Especially just like it's called vegetable. Bisque, that's what we do.
Yeah, that's what it is.
As chefs, sometimes we got to make a bisque, and, sometimes we go wrong. But if you go wrong, what do you do? You don't serve it. That's what you do.
And meanwhile, Nina totally outs the chefs as being, like, all fucked up back there. She's like... It's so weird that they are only serving one course right now. That means they must be really doing terrible things back there. And I'm sure the next course we get is going to be awful, right, everyone?
And sure enough, it's the oysters. And what do they call these kinds of oysters? I mean, Chesapeake Bay, but what
they were like, but they were cooked. And they arrive, and Padma goes, wow, these are pretty massive oysters. I didn't know they came gale size.
And Nina's like, they're very acidic. And she's like... It's a shame because they're cooked beautifully.
I don't know if you can see the shame in my eyes through my red framed Warby Parkers, but it's there. I promise it's there.
Then we cut to a regular woman who's like, God, those oysters. Those oysters lacked, gosh, a little something. I was like, well, thanks. I'm glad you gave her some screen time. She had nothing informative.
These oysters are like the crudo of shellfish.
I hate extras on Top Chef. I hate them. I hate when people come in and act all snotty. Because we've been to Top Chef. And
we've been extras twice.
It is bloody hell. You should see what these people go through. We always feel so bad.
I will also say that the editors will, I think, pick really stupid things. Because I, in one of my most glorious moments, Michelle Collins and I went to a taping of Top Chef Masters. And so every time they show that episode, people tweet at us. But we went and then like we ate food and someone made like a quesadilla. And so during judging, they were like, I really like that quesadilla. And they cut to me going, tasty, scrumptious. Like, thanks. And my mouth is like full. Like I'm stuffing it in my mouth. I've got like food in my mouth. And I go, tasty, scrumptious. So they'll put in like bad shots.
But I like that because you were being nice. You know, I just don't like it when they cut to people being total bitches about things, especially if they have nothing to say, like it's missing something, just something. It's like cut away from her. Is everyone else a goddamn fool?
Do you remember that idiot girl when we went to Top Chef, when we went to that thing in at the dog park with Top Chef California?
Top Chef remember that dog girl? Park. Who does that?
So do you remember that girl? Because she got like a soundbite on that episode. And then she like apparently had something in her teeth or whatever. And she got mad at us.
Yes.
She was like, I had something in my teeth that whole time. And you guys didn't tell me. I'm like, bitch.
That girl was terrible. Isn't that the girl who got kicked out of the van at the very end? She was trying to cut in line.
No. She was terrible, but then she used her terribleness to our advantage because we were waiting forever for the production van to take us back down to civilization. And some people cut in front of us, and she's like, sorry, we've been waiting in line here a long time. So no, you can't get in the van right now. She like used her like little Tracy Flick attitude and it worked in our favor. So then I was like, you know what? She's not so bad.
Yeah. That day we were like, we're never coming to Top Chef again.
Which is a lie because I will totally go back to a
Top
Chef.
Oh my God, I would too. Girl, you give me free food, I'll go to hell. I don't care.
No, it's so great to be able to like really judge these people. Like be like, well, we had their bland poached chicken.
Yeah.
Which is a true story. Yeah, wait, wasn't Karen is the one. I just remembered who Karen was. I'm pretty sure Karen is the one on Top Chef California who made that amazing apple gazpacho that I went back to like 3 or 4 times. Right?
Oh, really?
Remember there was a gazpacho I went to. Like, I kept on going back to it.
I don't know. I feel like we would have remembered
her
better.
That's why I knew I liked her.
A gazpacho. Oh, my God.
Loved her gazpacho. I have to double check that.
Okay.
Pick Flick.
Well, while you do, I'm going to go on with what they're having. This is the longest Top Chef episode ever. Okay?
Oh, it's Restaurant Wars. Okay. Snapper. So, Snapper arrives.
Also, I'm sitting on a stool instead of my office chair, so my butt hurts.
So it's more uncomfortable. I get it. So Snapper arrives and Padma's like, this is really pretty. Too bad it doesn't have cool sunglasses, too. Eyeglasses. Too bad its eyeglasses don't match its complimentary BMW vehicle.
She's like, who's responsible for the Snapper? And then he's like, it was a group effort. She's like, oh, wrong answer. So Nina's like, that was a nice bite. It was acidic and bright. And Nina's like, oh, whoa, a la minute. Oh, they got the next thing. I just like that. She's like, oh, a la minute.
You can really tell it's a la minute. Like, it's cold here. It's
hot
warm
there.
Here. It's like a McDLT.
It's got the right hot. It's got the right cold. It's like magic. It's like eating magic.
Like, if I threw this off the top of a building, it would full on splatter on the cement. I love it. It's exactly what I want for my food.
When David made a Creole spiced duck with cabbage. Wait, who's David?
He's the one from Elizabeth. I'm not sure where the Creole spice is hiding. Zinger.
But it's good.
Click your zing.
It's good.
So then there's like some crazy drama with table 33 where it's like, all right, the desserts, it was like, entrees are ready for table 33. They're like, table 33 is selling their appetizers? Mm-hmm. And Kelsey's like, wait, I just plated their desserts. Like, all the food all at once and all going the wrong place. So
and
then we have,
like, did you sell 33? And then Justin goes, you touched him, sweetheart. And I was like, oh, Justin, you better back the fuck down, sir.
Yeah.
Okay.
Justin.
And Justin,
I like
also,
you
were so fucking, I don't like you anymore, Justin. You were a real prick in this episode.
Yeah.
And then Justin trying to throw people under the bus for your own mistakes. You were a dick. And I don't like you talking to like that to Nene when you see how hard she's working. And what are you back there sucking an oyster? Shut up, Justin.
Justin and Nene were supposed to be my power duo and go all the way to the top together. And now I'm like really torn about this. So then
you know,
we go.
I was grossed out with him in the hot tub too. That whole group in the hot tub. I was like, you people are gross.
Yeah, okay? That's true.
I'm sorry, but this is television. Hot tubs are reserved for MTV.
That's true. Yeah, it was weird to see a hot tub on Top Chef. So then we used to get a commercial and it was like a Brian Mularkey commercial who drives me nuts. And he goes, hey, here's a dish that's sure to impress. I'm like, shut up, Brian Mularkey. He is like the Andy Cohen of food.
I love that Brian Mularkey has gone through like his full-on TV training, you know?
Yeah.
Where they send you to the valley and they're like, here's how to be personable on camera. Because every time I paused during his thing, I was trying to get a gif, but I couldn't get it. But every time I paused, his mouth was in a position like Ryan Seacrest, like this.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, his mouth was, like, wide. I was like, you are such a cheese ball.
He is so, so cheesy and annoying. So now we come back, and Padma's sitting there just trying to, like, brew up trouble. And she goes, Nene, what time was your last reservation, Nene? She's like, 10:15. Oh, and it's 11:12, so that 10:15 reservation had to wait an hour? She's like, yeah, okay. Thank you. It's like, congratulations, you can tell time, Padma.
Yeah, Padma's like, why do these walls have clocks in it? Am I right, Jack Black?
And then she turns. And then after Nene leaves, Padma just like turns to the other judges and just goes like this.
Oh, no, because she also topped it off by dropping a fork. And she's like, I'm sorry, guys, I'm a real Butterfingers. And Padma goes,
I think the only Butterfingers around here belong to Gail. Am I right, everyone? Am I right?
Poor Gail. What if today is like the That's first time someone was like, hey, maybe you should listen to these guys.
I know. We are so, this is what it's like being gay, because we actually love her the most.
This is what it's like being gay. We're like, what are you talking about?
Okay, so now comes Kelsey's buttermilk panna cotta and Nene's chocolate. And that's when Padma does that thing, like, I guess we'll have Nene's quote unquote chocolate, whatever that is.
Chocolate, quote unquote. And she goes, it's not even a dessert, it's a collection of things.
Sort of like Gail's played at Las Vegas buffet. Am I right, everyone?
So then Nene's in the back, and she's like, oh my god, Kelsey, they're starving out there. No one's getting their food. This guy's eating a banana out there because he's so hungry. And Kelsey goes, well, where'd he get a banana? Like, she's all bitter back there.
That guy was smart, because someone probably told him, if you're going to eat food on a reality show, no, you're going to be waiting a few hours before you get anything. Because that's the truth. That's a little pro tip. If any of these cooking shows, whether it's Top Chef or Hell's Kitchen or some Food Network show comes, like, hey, be an extra, you get to eat food. Ronnie and I have gone to several of them. You have to wait several hours before you get your food.
That's why I keep saying I'll never go back. Every time we go, I'm like, I'm never doing this again. Why are we doing this?
Yeah.
And then, but you know, time passes and it's like, oh my God, let's go stand outside in the rain for 3 hours. Remember when we did that?
You have to wait usually like 4 to 6 hours before you get your food. Not even a joke.
Oh my God. Remember the first one we went to that was the Top Chef desserts? And we were the most unlucky people. We had to eat the savory desserts where they're like, take a can of baked beans and make a pudding out of it. And we were like, oh.
I will always remember that falafel panna cotta. I will always remember.
God, gross.
I wish they brought that show back, though. I love Top Chef Just Desserts, and that stupid child molester had to ruin it all.
I know, but why does one child... It's like, why does that have to ruin the whole show? I don't get it.
Why can't we have that back? Bravo, can you please bring back Top Chef Just Desserts? Because it was awesome.
On,
and it was like Gail's vehicle. I was like very upset that they took that away from her.
Yeah, I know. I love, and the pastry chefs are all crazy, which I loved.
Yeah, that's what I loved about. You know what it was? The problem
remember
was
that guy obsessed with his mom. Oh my God!
Oh my God! He set the fires. He said he had a breakdown about like he was like the Red Hots were for my mother. And then that woman, like this like accomplished chef, Elizabeth something or another, had to like console him. His name was Seth, and he like had a breakdown about Red Hots. Oh,
yeah,
that was
like the Red Hots were for Mama or whatever. That was crazy. Okay.
Oh, that was such a crazy. That was so amazing, that scene.
So everybody has been served. All the restaurants are done now. And they're like, Tom, what do you think was the best? What do you think was the worst? And what do you think really gailed it? And he's like, well, I'd say the best was the Ballantine. The worst was the oysters. And the gale is that Hoover vacuum they're using to clean up right now.
Can we just start renaming Gale Bisque? Because I thought the Bisque was the most Gale-ish.
Never mind.
I wonder how Bisque Simmons is doing.
Never mind. Bisque is generally known as quick, so that wouldn't work.
I think Gale may be more of a chowder than a bisque, if you know what I'm saying. Bless her heart. So sad that our dear friend Gail Simmons couldn't be here to have this chunky bisque.
Gail's more of a popover kind of a girl. Looks delicious, nice and fluffy, but it's hollow on the inside. Am I right, Gail? God, a popover sounds good right now.
I made some over the break.
Shut up.
Okay, so now it's time for the judges table. So there's no real surprise here. Northeast wins. They loved Brian's Ballantine. They loved how he did front of the house, and they were impressed with his manual. They loved Eddie's, quote-unquote, his steak, which he's like, yeah, I want to do something blue-collar, so I did, like, steak and cabbage or whatever. I was like, shut up, Eddie.
I like Eddie, though. You don't like it. I love a negative person. And I like that they announced that they win, and Eddie's like, shit. And Padma goes, Eddie, you look upset.
It's hilarious.
She calls him out every single time. She's like, you can be happy now, Eddie.
I'm excited for us to start approaching the part of the season where Padma does fake crying when she kicks someone off, because right now she doesn't, because she doesn't know them well enough, but later on she will. That's so fun.
Yeah, and she's like, please pack your knives and go. It's like, there's like literally no difference except one of your eyelashes fluttered. Come on, Padma.
So they also love Adrian's cheese plate and her peaches.
Furious. I'm furious that somebody unpackaged some fucking cheese and put it on a plate. That was delicious, Adrian. Whatever.
That's exactly the sort of plate I put out to lure Santa into a trap. But ultimately, Brian wins. So then we...
Yeah.
So now it's time to grill the other two teams. So Padma gives like a classic Padma question. She goes, Michelle, you were the executive chef. Did you taste all the dishes before they went out?
And Michelle's like, no, I just like tasted the components. And Tom's like, you see, this is what we do as chefs. We taste components, but not the dish. Like chefs, mm-hmm. we got to learn as chefs not to do that. It's not how you do it.
I'm sorry, Tom. Were you actually able to hear her over there?
She's like miming. She's like,
I think Michelle's stuck in a glass box.
So let's see here. I'm just like scrolling through a million things I did not need to write down. Okay, so then we get to Eric. Wait, what team is this?
Well, Nilu. Eric is... I don't even know who Eric is.
Oh, Nilu goes... Adrian, the cheese plate was a revelation. Shut up, me. That doesn't even make sense. Cheese was a revelation.
Nilu goes, hey, Sarah, what was the reason why you decided to recite every detail of the entire menu to us?
Oh, I see where you are. I'm sorry. I was a little behind there.
That's okay.
And Sarah's like, well, come on, guys. I mean, I've got respect for you, Tom, no offense, but these are some power ladies here, all right? And so I just wanted to impress the ladies. Nailed it.
Nailed it. And Tom's like, Sarah, liked your gazpacho. That was really good. But the candy ginger had no business being there. No, nothing whatsoever. No,
and
no.
Did you see Sarah's face go from like, I am a power woman, to I will fucking grab you by the toes and split you open, bitch.
She did.
Pablo, like, there were inconsistencies in your short rib. And Neely's like, yeah, it was tough.
Sort of like Gail's wardrobe. Bless her heart. She tries.
I mean, Gail's more consistent than you even. At least her wardrobe is consistently terrible. Look at Milu. She's wearing it right now. Milu.
In case you're wondering, that's actually not a magic eye pattern. It's just the way the dress came.
If you stare at that dress long enough, you won't see pictures of Jesus.
If you stare at Neely's dress long enough, you'll actually just see a peace sign.
And then Neely's like, Branton's soy panna cotta was perfection. And Caroline's like, I mean, the roulade, I was a bit thrown off by the corn. But God, have I mentioned artichokes? I love artichokes!
Or sunchokes.
Sunchokes!
Who puts corn with a roulade anyway? I'm sorry, I love corn, but they're right. Why would he put a soy milk panna cotta and then corn with a roulade? Uh-uh. I'm sorry, yeah, I feel like there needs to be more hate for Brandon.
Yeah, not enough people got in trouble this episode.
Yeah.
So then she moves on to, she's like, so let's move on to the third coast. Why did you get so behind in seating? And Nini's like, I think it was our ticket system. And she's like, Justin, you look upset. What did you think? And he's like, it was a mess. Okay. It was just a mess. There was no training. Nobody got trained. And that's when I turned on Justin. I will never be behind you,
like,
sir. You're a jerk.
Although I don't understand how the ticketing system would have caused the problem. Why do you think she was saying the ticketing system was the problem?
Because they weren't understanding what the tables were. And so everybody was putting in the wrong tickets, like the wrong table numbers.
Oh, I see.
And
but
stuff
but
like
was
that.
That like, was that a Justin thing? But that's a her thing.
That's a waiter's fucking up everything thing. But she can't be back there at the same time. So the other person that would fall on would be the expo. Which I think was Justin, right? So he's getting
upset, not paying her. Okay.
Although, how can he pay attention? It's not like they have a video camera of the restaurant to see these tables. You know what I mean? So it's not like it was necessarily his fault. It's just
ultimately, if you have like a dumb lady who doesn't know how to use a spoon with soup, like there's just only so much you can do.
They should have dragged that bitch in. Okay.
They should have.
They should have been like, Bonnie, get in here.
Bonnie.
Bonnie. Okay, judges, like, you watching this? Fortune. Bonnie, tell me, on this tray, which is the fork and which is the spoon? She'd be like, I don't know, am I off the clock or what? Are we going for drinks? Is anybody coming? They'd be like, that's it. All right, you people are all absolved.
Bonnie, pack your knives up and leave.
So then, all right, I'll be taking these knives. Not the spoons, Bonnie.
So then, yeah, Justin's like, yeah, food was constantly going to the wrong table. And Pama just goes, wow. I'm like, I can never tell if she's just like bored or just like stoned or easily amused.
Yeah, Justin's like, this is the worst thing that's ever happened in my restaurant. So then Kelsey felt really bad because Justin's really coming for Nene. And Nene's too nice to be like, listen, everyone's moving around my tables. I get the biggest idiot waiters. Then on my dessert, they totally fuck me over and try not to even serve my dessert. And whose idea was that? Justin's. Like, she could have totally gone crazy on Justin, and she didn't. And so yeah, Kelsey she was being felt good. Bad. So she's like, in her defense, it was a tough room.
Yeah. And then on top of that, you know, because there was like, Pamela was like, did you want it plated that way, Nene? Did you mean for it to look like a bunch of garbage on a plate? And that's when Kelsey was like, well, actually, I plated it. Kelsey tried to take the bullet, but Nene was like, no, but she did it the way I wanted it to.
Yeah, Nene's like, yeah, that is how. Because that's what I'm saying. Like, you can't tell on Top Chef because one minute they're mad at you for not taking responsibility. You know, we're trying to make excuses. But then when you do, they're like, just as we thought, you're dumb.
Yeah. I also liked when they talked about Justin's bisque and Tom's like, you know, the thing with the bisque is the texture was a little pulpy. And Pamela just goes, swampy. like you know who's you know what, if you know what I'm saying.
Like that week Gail tried to be a guacamole. Am I right, Gail?
Swampy, just like the vegetable bin in Gail's refrigerator.
So in the back, Nene is hugging Kelsey, and Kelsey's like, I am so sorry. And she's like, well, it wasn't your fault. Thank you for sticking up for me. And then douchebag Phantasmagoria Chocolate Factory or whatever is like, it wasn't the content, it was the assembly, guys. Okay? I was like, you're not the team captain. Just be quiet over there, Phantasmagoria. I don't want to hear
it
from
go
you.
Away. Go away. So ultimately, it's time for judging, and, you know, it's like, oh, well, basically, the chocolate dish, Nene, just wasn't that good.
Yeah.
And Justin, your bisque was the weakest thing of the night, and you should have taken control of the line. And, you know, on black team, the entrees weren't very good. Pablo, you made some terrible, terrible steak that Nene wants to throw off buildings. So, sorry.
And bounce.
Don't forget that part, Tom. And bounce.
And, you know, the lack of training for Nene had a snowball effect. And so that's it.
Nene, Pablo, please pack your knives and go. I was pissed. At Pablo, even though I think Pablo is pretty... He's proven himself to be pretty talented and stuff. I didn't like that he got kicked off. But
he sort of messed up every week.
I thought Justin should have gone. Whoever is responsible for the fucking bisque and the oysters should have gone.
Yeah, I actually agree. I thought it was going to be Justin and Nene. I was so mad. I was so mad that Nene lost. I was so mad that I actually went and watched Last Chance Kitchen. Because I was like, this cannot be the end. This cannot be the end for me with Nene. I didn't finish it. It was a two-part Last Chance Kitchen, and I finished part one, but I have not finished part two.
Do
you want me to tell you anything about what happened, or do you want me to hold it? I'll hold it. I won't say anything.
Yeah, I don't know if people will get mad that that's a spoiler or not.
Yeah, I won't say it, but I needed to watch it.
I actually watched Million Dollar Listing LA, believe it or not, because I was...
Really?
Yeah, because I had like such a to-do list for the crappies, and whenever I have a to-do list, I won't move. Like I'm like a deer in the headlights. I'm like, oh, I don't want to do anything. So I just sat there and let it play. Wow, what a show. I mean, it's not great, but a couple of the new casting choices they made, they have a chick now, and she's really good. Okay, and Josh Flagg is, like, crazier than ever. He's just turning into this, like, completely wonky old man.
Yeah.
And he started wearing leather jackets now instead of suits ever. I don't know. It was pretty fun, but that Josh Altman still, he's still the worst. And those English guys are still the worst.
They're still there? Ugh.
Oh, they're terrible. So those guys, so it's, like, half good. I liked it. I mean, I watched the whole thing.
I like it more than Million Dollar Listing New York. I can't watch Million Dollar Listing
New York. I can't watch New York. I can watch
all the
others.
It's so bad. It's like it's too fake. Like Frederick is so annoying and he is so blatantly scripted.
Yeah.
That it just ruins the entire show. I can't do it.
Agreed. I don't know why I brought it up because I have nothing to say about it except that I was very proud and want extra credit points for watching it.
Okay.
So why don't we move over to the Crappin's mailbag, Ben?
Sounds good to me.
For those of you who don't know, the Crappin's mailbag is where you send us some mail and we read it. It's a Patreon level thing. Someone just put, Josh Altman is an ass and his wife is so fake. Yeah, Heather's the worst. And I could have sworn I saw Ashley from Southern Charm walk into an open house.
Really?
That's neither here nor there. Okay, let's get into that trash bag. I mean, that mailbag. I didn't mean to say
okay.
that. I said trash bag. So,
April Budzelowitz has asked this question. She's very patient because she actually asked it 2 months ago. So thank you for waiting. She says, I was listening to the Morocco episode and Kelly Dodd making an appearance with Kelly Ben Simone's lines had me thinking about what other same name Housewives crossovers would sound like. I guess she's talking about when we did Morocco in New York. So what would it sound like if we did crossover things? So what would it sound like, for instance, Kim Zolciak saying some famous Kim Richard lines or vice versa, or Gina from OC as Gina from Melbourne, or Lisa Vanderpump as Lisa Rinna, Heather Thompson versus Heather Dubrow?
Well, today we had Ramona in Top Chef. She could have been like, okay, listen here. Nine-Nine and Brazilian person, put your knives in the back. Go someplace else, okay? Sorry, okay? Let's just sit. I don't want to see you here anymore, okay? Who's going to make me eat something that bounced on the ground? It's not what I want, okay? And who's choking artichokes, okay? It's not very nice, okay?
I'm sorry, but this biscuit is swampy, okay? It reminds me of the swamps of my childhood. Whoa, it's crazy. One time, it's a little girl. And I was like, I think there's supposed to be some treasure in the swamp. And I went to go find the swamp. And Geraldine Parsons Smith was like, no, don't go to the swamp. It's dangerous there. You have to have bisque instead. So I stayed home and had bisque. And to this day, I've never been to a swamp. Okay? I'm sorry. I don't even know what a swamp is.
What else is in there?
We have Oliver Haskins. We love that, Oliver. He says, at 35, Teddy was last season's youngest housewife. When Lisa Vanderpump was 35 in 1995, she had two young kids, Pandy and Max, and only two dogs, and she was hustling to open Villa Blanca. When Ramona was 35 in 1991...
God, Oliver, look at National Geographic over there.
Yeah, this is like a very like involved question. So when Ramona was 35 in 1991, she was single because she didn't marry Mario until she was 36. She was very religious and she was reselling wholesale schmatas. How do you think Erica Jane and Bethany of today would respond differently if little Lisa Vanderpump and little Ramona joined their respective casts as the new younger housewives? So in other words, how would the Bravoverse be different if Lisa Vanderpump and Ramona were actually the youngest and least established of their castmates?
Oh my God.
It's like brain melting. So if Lisa Vanderpump were if she were the teddy bear, for instance.
She'd be like, oh, I love pink. It's all I love. People call me Pinky. I walk around from stores and wear pink. Let's go to a diamond store. Do you have a pink diamond? Like, she'd be kind of like herself, but just, like, more excited about her thing. Because you know how Erica Jane's like, yeah, pet the puss. That's looking good. She just says that shit over and over. I think Vanderpump would be even more careful to be on brand.
Yeah, I think that Erica Jane would be like, I don't give a fuck. Who's this person think she is, calling herself Pinky? I like to be with authentic girls. I'm not going to talk to her. And then she'd be like, I find that this lady, Erica Jane, is very hard to get to know. I'm trying to get to know her by bringing her to diamond stores and talking about pink, but she won't have it. It's a shame.
God, Lisa Vanderpump is a young person. She'd probably be like, escape room? That's what I call my bedroom on Ken's birthday. Get it?
I don't think Lisa Vanderpump has ever been a young person, unfortunately.
I don't think so either.
And I think it's like I feel bad for Pandy also because, like, clearly Pandy lets Lisa, like, Lisa, like Lisa clearly styles Pandy and is like, this is what you this is what I was wearing when I was your age. Because if you look at Pandora in all her photos, she's wearing like sort of matronly jackets and lacy things. And I'm like, Pandy, like be youthful, be young. Yeah. Don't let your mom style you. You have to step out from under Lisa. We love Lisa, but you're Pandora. You have to be your own lady.
Yeah. I just like to think of Lisa Vanderpump being young and finding Rocio down that hill and being like, hop in. It's a convertible. Jump in the roof. Get it. Come on. I'll take you home, Oliver.
I think you actually just addressed the last question, which was a crossover, because I think you just turned Lisa Vanderpump into Lydia from Melbourne. I saw her and I was like, it's my daughter. Oh, she's going to be my daughter now.
What's that question?
That was the one about like crossovers.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. It was a nice wrap up. That is Lydia. She's like, I'm here in Thailand visiting the parents of my daughter.
All right. Well, that was fun. Tomorrow we got the crappies. So we have a lot of work that we got to do off podcast to get ready for the big show. There's still a few more hours left to vote for them. So if you haven't done it, you should do it because it's fun. And, you know, if you're not able to come to the show, don't worry. We'll be releasing it. So keep an eye and ear out for the award show coming up. Make sure you go to watchcrappins.com to buy tickets for all our live shows coming up, because there's so many fun live shows, okay? And we'll be sure to serve swampy bisque at all of them.
Love you guys. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.